Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Nation searching for a voice to guide it through this modern day wilderness of popular culture, politics, business, and sports. In these troubled times, we turn to one man. That man is Bill Vickery. Born with rural American values, possessed with superhuman brain capacity, buttery smooth charm, razor sharp wit, chiseled good looks. He's chosen to use his superpowers for the good of all mankind. So this Sunday, the nation turns to this man for answers and direction. To Bill Vickery and the Sunday Buzz.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
Well, here we are, the day after Christmas, Boxing Day in Canada.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Headed down that path. Kwanzaa leads us into New Year's, which leads us into
the bowl game,
the Outback Bowl. So, Boxing Day. I love Canada. They created an entire holiday around putting things away. Think about that. It's not opening stuff. It's not celebrating something. It's not a love between a couple. Valentine's Day. Boxing Day literally is a day in Canada where they celebrate putting stuff away.
Yeah, but while they put stuff away, can they, like, watch all the Rocky movies and...
Well, I'm assuming boxing. Yeah, I see what you did there, Sugar Ray. Joe Louis, 77 years old. Think about that. How anal retentive do you have to be to celebrate Boxing Day? I think that's a white people's holiday, man. You know, that's
hashtag first world problems.
It's mayonnaise city with that one. That's just Boxing Day.
Well, that's the day when we put stuff away. It's a Boxing Day.
So, and every year I send out a little tweet the day after Thanksgiving and say, Happy Boxing Day to my friends in Canada, because then people bite on that, and it's a little sarcasm. Well, last week I was over in the Meadowlands watching our Dallas Cowboys whoop up on the New York football Giants. And it's always a grand experience to see a game in New Jersey, because a third of the Giants fans are not sitting in their seats. They're sitting somewhere else. Cold weather, you know, blasted. Southern football, watching football in the South, because it's primarily collegiate football, and I'll throw Texas into the South there. We'll get a little Midwestern, Nebraska, Oklahoma. It's rowdy, and there's drinking, but football in the upper Eastern Seaboard, especially wintertime football up there.
Oh, I'm sure that's next level.
Oh, it is a level of drunken stupidity that, and it's not about the game. Whereas down here, it can be, in the South, West Coast, they're not even sure. They show up about midway through the second quarter lead before the fourth starts. But in the South, it's about the game and then going from there. But you got two or three fights that got to happen. And you got a bunch of people yelling at one another. And believe me, if you ever want to feel good about yourself, sit in the end zone at Giant Stadium in East Rutherford. If you have any bad feelings, body image issues, or anything else, those folks, and they're there in pajamas, whatever else. But it was fun to watch the Cowboys. I always love to go. I try to do that every year. One good cold weather game. I think Cleveland is up next for next year. But I've seen the Patriots, Chicago. That was a good one. Last game of the year a few years ago. My buddy Ben Williams. And, lake effect snow was coming into the stadium. Whew.
I have a friend who will be at the Bears-Seahawks game in Seattle today.
Oh, that'll be a good cold weather game.
I would say weather report right now, 27 degrees and spitting snow.
I love a good cold weather football game. Now, I don't want to go to too many of them. One is about good enough. But it is fun because, there's a sense of camaraderie. Everybody's in it together. And whereas normally I enjoy setting up in a box or in a climate-controlled area, as our great friend Stas Norsworthy says, 72 degrees and the chance of vodka. That's when you see, when you sit in a club area or something like that, and it's a suite. But it is fun to go one time, sit outside, embrace the elements, fiving people in mittens, big gloves and all that. While up there, let's see. Man, we've got a ton of stuff to get. So Biden, I got to talk about Biden. I got to talk about Joe Manchin. We didn't talk about that. Our Patriots insider, our man Paul Buckley in New England, will be with us a little bit later in the program. And we'll talk a little bit about Patriots in the NFL, but mostly he and his family adopted the Arkansas Razorbacks this year. They're going to meet me in Tampa.
Very nice.
Yeah. Flying down. We're all sitting together. They got the hog noses ready to go. I say a bill. We get a pizza and put on my hog nose. I got everybody a hog nose. What the heck's a hog nose? Oh, a hog nose. Yeah, a hog nose. What, Paul? A hog nose. What?
Sounds about like Pat Bradley the other day on Out of Bounds talking about a quahog.
So they know Pat. I mean, let's talk about a small world. Yeah. So we'll talk to Paul a little bit later. They've embraced the Razorbacks, Sam Pittman et al. You appreciate Jimmy Sexton, but I really appreciate Hunter Yurecek. Okay, well, that's an offer. It's out there. We'll talk about it. Got a game to play. We'll worry on that one for a minute. So I leave town, and the Razorbacks poop the bed over at Simmons Bank against Hofstra. I'm in New York, and I'm in a cab, and it's a breaking news. Hofstra, out there on Long Island.
Long Island.
That's it, Long Island. Forget about it. So I don't know. We played Elon. Who knew that Elon Musk had a whole university already?
Who knew?
And he just decided to name it after his first name. At least the Vanderbilts and the Dukes went with the last name. Elon went with the first name.
He was trying to be different.
Oh, man, I love that guy. I'm going to go buy. My next car is going to be a Tesla just because I love Elon Musk, and here's why.
Then again, would you have wanted to go to Musk University?
Good point. Elon sounds a lot better. Have you ever seen his mom? You know, his mom was a model.
No.
Elon Musk's mother, and I say this as a red-blooded, middle-aged American man. So that means I'm immature, selfish, all of these things. But even as an older woman was attractive. And I mean, and they you know, kind of grew up relatively poor. Yeah. But boy, just a strikingly beautiful older woman. Elon Musk's mother, and she was a working model for much of her younger life. Anyway, I digress. The reason I like Elon Musk, for a variety of reasons. One, I think he's a national treasure. I heard him talk the other day about, he was on a podcast talking about how America's the greatest country, that only in America could you invent the kind of things that are invented, and that the rest of the world waits for us to do something, and then, you know, the Chinese copy. And he was just waxing on, you know, and he's bolted California for Texas and all that. And he was talking about Elizabeth Warren, I guess, had kind of taken the lefty pinko, half a commie U.S. senator from the People's Republic of Massachusetts. And she had been on him about paying taxes or whatever. And so what did Musk do? He hired a firm. He created a firm of people to look into people who take issue with some of these things. Well, what did he find out? This year, he's paid $11 billion in taxes to the United States government. Okay, the single largest tax bill in the history of the country. He's paid it. Cash. Okay?
Let that sink in for just a second.
Think about that.
Cash.
He did some research to find that Elizabeth Warren, who's a millionaire, paid no taxes. So the point in this podcast that he was on, he was like, if people could die by irony, Elizabeth Warren would be dead. That here's a woman who's yelling and screaming about pay your fair share, but her own personal tax returns show her, and by the way, all valid deductions. I don't begrudge her for taking advantage of the tax laws that exist in this country. Not at all. What I do think is that she speaks with forked tongue. Pocahontas, she speaks with forked tongue. So that on the one hand, she's yelling and screaming about pay their fair share and Musk, and he's a bum and taking advantage. But then she doesn't pay any taxes. Hasn't paid taxes, according to Elon Musk, the last 3 years. And again, perfectly fine. I've got no problem with that. If she's, these are all legitimate, okay, great. But don't, as a lefty, half a commie, start screaming at other people. And it is the classic cliche of those on the hard left. Just do what I say. Now, I'm going to lead my life cloistered off by money and power and privilege. But you need to do what I say. That's those on the left. But I love that Musk now, he's like, he goes, I'm ready for it. We're bringing it on. He's got a team looking into Bernie Sanders. I've got the sniffles here. I don't think I have the Omicron. I think I have the Decepticon. I don't think it's the newest strain of the coronavirus.
The Decepticon.
I have Decepticon. It's yes. It's not a. It's a. And masks can't stop it. Only goggles. Only goggles can stop this. So when you see me, I'll have a mask and goggles on. I noticed in watching last night, courtside at the Laker-Brooklyn net game, I don't know who the guy was, but he had on goggles on his forehead. So he had to be some kind of hip-hop star because it looked like he had an entourage around him, and he had some good old-fashioned motorcycle goggles just on his forehead. And I thought, hey, and he pulled it off. He pulled it off. Because I thought, How do you come up with that? Like, I get it. I get up in the morning, blue pinstripe suit, white shirt, striped tie. All right? Guy's been doing that for forever. This guy, I'm sitting courtside Christmas night at the the crypto.com arena is now. It's no longer Staples. And isn't that the evolution of where we are? It's no longer Staples. No need for office supplies. Now it's crypto.com. Anyway, this guy had on goggles on his forehead. So I think that's what I've come down with the Decepticon. And masks won't stop it, but goggles will. We get back. We'll talk a little bit about Joe Manchin and what does that mean. What went on this year? There's going to be another. I predict at least two variants. At least two variants in addition to the Decepticon variant. And who gets to name these things? That's the other thing. Coronavirus had already existed for some time. It's how we had been classifying the flus. Okay, got that. But who got to call Delta, Delta? And Omicron, couldn't you do a naming rights? Couldn't you do a crypto.com?
Variant.
I think there's a revenue stream the federal government, Biden, come on, buddy. Build back better. BBB. Stay with us. Drive on me, man. Got to get back to you, babe. You're the best I ever had. You're the best I ever had. You whisper.
With Bill Vickery.
You are now free to turn up the volume as loud as you want.
Well, the honky-tonks in Texas were my natural second home. Where you tip your hat to the ladies and the roses of San Antonio. I grew up on music that we call Western Swing. It don't matter who's in Austin, Bob Wills is still the king.
A little Waylon there. Lord, recorded live at the Green Dance Hall in Green, Texas. At one time, the largest all-wooden structure in North America.
Really?
Yeah. Down there one night with a couple of buddies, and I watched an old boy in an Oklahoma Sooners jersey take a beer mug to the face in the most violent way possible.
Ooh.
I mean,
that just does not sound good.
I don't know what happened. But it was sort of like a hockey fight. Two or three of those security guys got around him and kind of let him tire themselves out, and then they picked him up and carried him outside. So, yeah. The Green Dance Hall. A man could get his kicked. A joint like that. I'm sure this came through. Yesterday being Christmas, I always get a chance to go back and look at some old photographs of myself. And it doesn't matter whether you get a bunch of stuff or a little bit of stuff or whatever it might be. When you're a child on Christmas, the look of pure joy on a child's face Christmas morning when they see something. And it's, there's no guile in it. There's no, they don't look and immediately think, oh, I wonder if somebody got something better. I mean, we layer on all that as adults later on. You know, oh my gosh, I wonder how much that cost. Oh, I didn't get them the same amount. No. There is a loveliness and purity to a child on Christmas morning. The joy, the pure joy that is so perfect and honest and real and pure that it is, it renews my faith in humanity on a regular basis. So this week, this came across my timeline feed, and you may have seen this, Todd. The lady who's Miss Fitz at the prep school in Georgetown.
Yes.
At recess, she teaches a bunch of second graders. So you got a group of second graders outside, and I'll just do the setup for you. It's a small little basketball setup, and it's about a, you know, not quite, it's not a full regulation thing, but it's a small, it's for the little kids, you know? So Miss Fitz is standing at one end of this little concrete asphalt
slab
in between office buildings. This is the case there in Georgetown in Washington. She goes, look, kids, if I make this shot, you all get hot chocolate. Well, this ensued. Now Miss Fitz is dialing up here. She's at the opposite end. I mean, the utter joy with which these little kids scream, I got to run that back, because you hear it. It reminded me once of listening to a crowd later on a playback of Darren McFadden against LSU when he broke in the open, and you could hear the entire stadium got up and cheered. You know, that's what – so Miss Fitz – you know, who, by the way, didn't realize later on, you find out, she played college basketball at Rutgers. And so you hear it in these little kids, and then to see the video, one kid's in a little reindeer costume. They're going nuts. And it's the accomplishment. It's like I said, it's so much. But here we go. Let's play this again. We'll get Miss Fitz lined up here. Full court shot there out on the mean streets of Georgetown. I mean, yeah, but you just listen to these kids. This is perfect. In my opinion, this could be the greatest noise in the history of mankind. This Miss Fitz lining up. She lets it go. How great is that, huh? And you see the kid, like there's a little kid who keeps throwing his ball up in the air just out of pure joy.
And Miss Fitz just doesn't hit this shot. Yeah. I mean, she drained it.
Posed. She kind of left the wrist up there a little bit, MJ style.
And she was just as happy as the kids were. She's jumping up and down.
Jumping up and down with the kids. And, you know, they're just going nuts around her. All this. And it was the day of the Christmas, you know. So that was it. So if you ever want to know what pure joy, one more time, because it deserves to be heard, and I'll let it go, and we can get to Joe Manchin and all the ugliness in Washington. But just for a little bit, just right here, just close your eyes and just picture yourself as... How great is that?
That's awesome.
That to me... is that's Christmas and joy and everything all wrapped up into one right there with a bunch of 8-year-olds screaming and yelling and jumping up and down because of hot chocolate. But it's really not the hot. It's the accomplishment and the whole thing, and they're all out there together. Okay, now let's get to the bitterness in Washington. You're right, HB. Perfect pure joy. Let's see. Joe Manchin announces this last week that he is going to, he's not a yes vote on the current iteration of the Build Back Better. Which I thought they got to come up with a better name for a $1.7 trillion spending package, which has every kind of left of center thing you can imagine. And this is, I do appreciate this about my lefty friends. The willingness for them to cloak themselves in sanctimony. Well, if caring for young people is what you call lefty, then I'm proud. And nobody's against caring for young people. I'm against bankrupting the country to accomplish not much. I'm against seeing the federal government take a lot more money from you, Todd, and me to accomplish these things, and you listening out there. So Manchin, who had been telegraphing this, and this is, let me give you a little insight into things here, boys and girls. He marches out on Fox and says, last Sunday, a week ago, says, I'm not going to be for it. Well, it's a 50-50 Senate, and just the same way that George W. Bush had to deal with the United States Senate his first year in the White House, which saw a defection, you see Biden having to do the same thing. Now, Biden was told later, well, get me Robert Byrd on the phone. Corn pop. Well, if it's 50-50, do we win? What was the score? I got a funny one with Biden. He got in a Let's Go Brandon. By the way.
I heard about that.
Lots of Let's Go Brandons in Giant Stadium last week, last Sunday. Lots of Let's Go Brandons. And I realize that's more working class jersey and all that, but that's not at an Alabama LSU game. That's a giant stadium in East Rutherford.
I was saying, if it weren't trucker style, you could have worn your hat. But then again, it could have been mistaken for Giants colors.
Could have been, yeah.
Who needs that?
Yeah. So anyway, Manchin says, look, he marches out on Fox News to say I'm a no vote. He had let the White House know. But some of this is, and this is where you can kind of read between the lines. What happens immediately is, the old mean old redhead that's the press secretary. This is despicable. And she calls him a bunch of names, which they then have to walk back. And then a couple of other things come out of the White House. And that's when Manchin on Monday of this last week said, let me tell you something. I got no problem with Biden. He falls asleep most of the time. It's the staff people. It's the chief of staff. It's this. He starts naming names of who he thinks are the a-holes. And you don't trust them, and I don't like them, and blah, blah, blah. And Manchin, and when that happens, now you begin to get a snapshot into how things are being dealt with. So that it's Weekend at Bernie's situation. Joe's in the corner. Everybody else is doing the work. And it was only later, after Manchin decided to call a few people out, that, well, you know, now wait a minute. Everybody just needs to calm down. That's the White House issued a statement basically imploring everyone to calm down. But you're the ones that stirred it up in the first place. You're the ones that had the old carrot top come out, you know, and do a routine. So, and of course, you can't get any better than a scorned liberal. Oh my gosh, you know. Because, again, listen, we conservatives, we've got our own set of hang-ups over here. Don't get me wrong. Ye without sin cast the first stone. But nothing like an elitist liberal to weigh in. Why is it that one man has a... But it's not one man. You know, we've got a... There's an immediate attack on the state of West Virginia. Who Joe Man... And by the way, do you think you're going to beat Joe Manchin in West Virginia? Do you think that Bernie Sanders going to West Virginia? I hope it does. If you're Chuck Schumer, you're in a box here because what do you, you know, going down there to beat. Yeah, this is my Bernie. I got to go campaigning. And Bernie Sanders shows up this last week to campaign against Manchin's Democratic primary opponent. Or to campaign against Manchin. Pardon me. So you beat Joe Manchin in a Democratic primary. He either switches parties and becomes the Republican Party nominee and wins, or whomever the Republican is, insert name here, able to fog a mirror, beats the Democrat. So you are fading that Senate seat away. But that doesn't stop AOC and the rest of them. He's a liar. One of the members of the House Democratic Caucus said that Joe Biden doesn't like black people. And I didn't know if that was a Kanye thing or what. Like, how does that? I'm confused. Like, wait, he just said, I'm not going to be for this. And there's this. But the best one, this one takes the cake. This is the best one. You get these like Joey Behar, these old Yenta women stirred up. Oh, my gosh. So, Bette Midler, who, you know, who's God love her. Listen, I had the rose on a 45. Some say love. You know, look that up over there. We'll go out with this. 1979, I think. I had it on a 45. Played it on a record player. Not a hi-fi, but a record player. Anyway, when you're cloistered off, and this is what I keep saying on this program, when you're wealthy, white, powerful, cloistered off by fame, and you get to live in a world that you get to tell other people about their carbon footprint, but then you take a private jet to Stade to ski. This is Bette Midler's immediate response. And you just can't. This is just it. This is what this wins, by the way. You want this to happen because the House is a foregone conclusion. Republicans are going to win the House. It could be upwards of 40 seats now. Democrats choosing not to run in the House. There may be more incumbent Democrats not seek re-election in the House of Representatives than any time in modern American political history, stated from 1950 forward. And it's because they got to carry around these anvils with them, like the Bette Midlers of the world. Here was her response. And by the way, do you believe that Bette Midler could tell you one line item in the Build Back Better? No. It's all jerseys to them. Like, we're on this side, and I don't get it. What Joe Manchin, this is from Bette Midler now, quoting the divine Miss M. What hashtag Joe Manchin, and why it's hashtag Joe Manchin, I guess that's because you're trying to trend it. I think that's the thing.
Probably.
What hashtag Joe Manchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn. Got to throw Brooklyn in there. You know, hipster capital of the universe. I'm sorry, you can't be served, sir. Your jeans aren't skinny enough. Please leave. Are those shoes biodegradable? How big is the range that the chickens get to roam on that lay these eggs? How many hectares? How many hectares is the... What hashtag Joe Manchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn, has done to the rest of America, who wants to move forward, not backward. Here we go. This is where it gets juicy. And by the way, of course she knows. Well, I don't understand here. We're all for this. Why are you illiterate boobs not on our side? You know? Come on, get with the game, normies. General population? What hashtag Joe Manchin represents a population smaller than Brooklyn in the House, biggie, has done to the rest of America who wants to move forward, not backward, like his state, is horrible. Lots of commas there. I think that's a... We could diagram this sentence, and it would not be pretty.
Yeah, no.
No, not a good sentence. In Ms. Kazire's fifth grade class, she would get an F on that sentence. What hashtag Joe Manchin represents a population smaller than Brooklyn has done to the rest of America who wants to move forward, not backward, like his state, is horrible. He sold us out. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia, poor, illiterate, and strung out. Well, I would say to Ms. Midler that strung out and illiterate can capture about a third of Hollywood at any given time. But that, see, you get a real reaction. You get a chance to see the contempt. And that's my point. I got Democratic friends that care deeply about America. And then I know people like this, not as famous, clearly, and you see them, they pop up on Twitter all the time, and they're condemning this and telling you how to do that and spouting off directions for this or that. But they really hold most of you in contempt. They really think that, you know, you're there to be the governed. And it's up to them, and only them, who can see through to the light to understand. Now, Ms. Midler has no clue what's in the Build Back Better plan, nor have any understanding about West Virginia. I would contend there are a lot of poor, illiterate, strung-out people in Brooklyn. You know? I mean, come on now. Let's don't really get into name-calling, because fentanyl can do some pretty good damage in Red Hook or Williamsburg. So, in a happier, better day, some 40-odd years ago, I think this is 1979. I'll look that up real quickly. I want to say...
That would sound about right.
Yeah. Let's see. Yes. Yeah, 1980. Pardon me. Omaha, 1980. Took this song to number one. Recorded in 79, released in March of 80. Shot to number one. Well, don't think they're playing this in Morgantown. Back with more after this. That never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking. That never
You're listening to the Sunday Buzz on 103.7 The Buzz.
It brings us together.
And now, here's Bill Vickery.
McCartney. Not even with Wings. That's when it was just him and Linda just hanging out. I've yet to watch the documentary on the Beatles.
I haven't seen that either.
I got to see that this week. There's a lot I got to get to this week. Taking off on Thursday.
I was about to say, when are you heading down for?
Heading out on Thursday. Well, I'm stuck here. Where, I mean, I've got stuff to do professionally.
Right.
And so be heading out on Thursday to I'll do this real quickly, and that way I won't be there we go. So yeah, Thursday, and then going to join the guys Friday morning for a little bit down in Tampa, and big event obviously New Year's Eve down in Tampa. Paul Buckley, who we'll talk to a little bit later on, coming down from Boston. So game time, noon kickoff. So, you know, another 11 o'clock kickoff. Which, we didn't have a good run. What were we, 1-2 on 11 o'clock kickoffs? We lost to Ole Miss, and we lost to Auburn, both 11 o'clock kickoffs. We beat UAPB. Trying to remember the other. Do we have another? Do we play 4 11 o'clock kickoffs?
I would have to go back and
look. So Georgia was an 11 o'clock kickoff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're at least 1-3. That doesn't bode well. These things are always tough. Let me preface this by saying, and I don't know why, and to his credit, Trump refused to do some of this stuff because it's just horrible, and only bad stuff can happen. Let me get back out of that. Then there's my fault on that one, Todd. That's not you. That's on me. Dak overthrew Amari there. Let's see. So Biden and President Biden and his wife, they do these goofy things where they sit and they take phone calls of people who are calling into NORAD Santa tracker and blah, blah, blah. And I'm unclear as to whether they knew these calls, the calls have been screened or whatever, but it kind of goes back to, and we've talked about all the Let's Go Brandon stuff on the show. And listen, this is widely reported. This isn't some super out there right-wing site. This is reported CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, The Hill. This audio that I'm pulling is from the Associated Press. And so it's all done. And this is why you can't have, and I don't know why they do this. And it's not right. And I mean that. They get Jill to do these live events with him, which isn't a podium thing. She's going to be a part of whenever he does the, you know, and it's family and we're going to do Christmas. But she's right there to kind of run things. So they take a call. And again, I'm unclear, one, why the White House puts him in these situations. Should never do this. Two, if you're going to put him in these situations, you know, only have actors call in as fake people like those child actors that did the space video with Kamala, vice president. Turns out she was talking to kids about space. Turns out they were all hired actors. So, well, let's just play the audio because, I don't know, man. I'm getting to the point where this just, it's painful, you know? It's painful to watch the president, and this is tough. But it's also goofy because you can't put him in these kinds of situations, or any president for that matter. Clinton at his best. Now, wait a minute. Did you say you're a single mom at Christmas? Where are you from? Well, Phoenix, huh? Well, I bet it's hot there. What are you wearing at Christmas time this year? Oh, sorry. Hillary's got something she wants to say. Click. So here's Jill Biden first trying to wrap the call up. And then, of course, it careens off the rails soon thereafter.
Well, have a Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful Christmas.
And by the way, you guys had to be in bed by 9 o'clock, you know, and asleep between 9 and 12, or he doesn't show up.
So wait a minute. So there's, okay, Merry Christmas, man.
Oh, by the way.
You know, like we joke, Todd, whenever he goes, he turns, go one more question, and everybody holds up. You could see Jill Biden go, when he did the, oh, by the way, they got to be, I sound like Foster Brooks doing Joe Biden. And by the way, you got to be in bed between 9 and, whatever, they don't come, corn pop. And the dad's just trying to hang up, too. Jared is his name. Not the Subway sandwich guy.
This isn't to you, Jared. This is to the kids.
That's right.
See, Jill's got to explain. Now, wait a minute. This is not, the kids aren't on the phone. And so, you know, and poor old Joey's looking down. He's off to the side. She's got her hand on him, like bringing him back. Just, okay, here we go.
I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Well,
yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry
Christmas, and let's go,
Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Yeah. Hey, by the way.
There we go. Let's go, Brandon. I agree. It's one of those things. I wouldn't pull that out to use against the President of the United States. What I found is hilarious, again, about my friends, that, well, I just can't believe that you treat the president that way. Wait a minute. You hear the people yelling and screaming. He doesn't know. Clearly, he doesn't know. And nobody's told him. And he's not aware of, well, this Brandon guy's really popular. Let's see if we can't get him somewhere. I'll do a joint event with him. We'll get right on that, Mr. President. We'll look ahead to this week's bowl matchups. Boy, the SEC, I mean.
Not off to a good start.
Army really put a whooping. I mean, that was an impressive win by Army over Mizzou. And Florida just looked Gus Malzahn. How happy was he, huh? How happy do you think he felt? Florida, how far have you fallen? I mean, that's like one of those Walensas up on the high wire, and you look and go, oh, don't look away. We'll talk bowl matchups, Hogs. On the other side, stay with us.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Here, football is a religion, and Saturdays are sacred. Players live for one moment.
Fire away! Hit!
The seconds of a game-winning pass. Live on forever. Football is more than just a game. It's a way of life. The nation's best conference. An American tradition for over 75 years.
I want it to be gain, not loss. Good, not evil. Success, not failure. In order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it.
To the 30, Lindsey's got 35, 40. Lindsey's got 45, 50, 45, 40. Run, Lindsey. 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got.
Here's to Bo Jackson. Jackson's on his way. Goodbye. 71 yards for Bo Jackson.
Jones looking. Jones now throwing to the end zone, and it is complete! A touchdown! Oh, my! I can't believe it! 31 yards to DeCorey Birmingham in the back of the end zone!
Billy Cannon watches it bounce. He takes it on his own 11. He comes back upfield at the 15, stumbles momentarily, he's at the 20, running hard at the 25, gets away from one man for 30. Touchdown.
Everything is riding on this football game. So there's a special intensity, a special urgency. Here come the Volunteers. Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
Todd, I had my fill of the NBA yesterday. 5 games. Was able to catch a few. Celtics-Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good one. I did not stay up. I kind of called it quits after Brooklyn-LA. I couldn't take it all the way to the end. Pretty good game between Cleveland and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Cleveland just couldn't get it. Really bad no call at the end there on the pass interference, on the no pass interference, which is but I mean, you can't throw 4 interceptions in a game and blame your loss on one play, especially when you lose by one possession. Cleveland just couldn't finish it off. And, boy, the wheels have come off for the Arizona Cardinals.
Have they ever?
I mean, geez. I was listening this morning, and I think it's all because they don't have DeAndre Hopkins. who they won't have back until the playoffs, and not like in the wild card week. So
the way they're looking right now, they may not make it out of wild card weekend.
Yeah, that's true. You could go so far as to say they got Dallas next week. Assuming Dallas wins this week, they'll be on a roll. They'll be playing for a showdown with Green Bay for the top seed. But let me put it to you this way. This week, we're not going to get into New Year's Eve. I'm going to leave out the New Year's Eve bowls. But there are a couple of three here between now and the 31st. I don't really care about Boston College, East Carolina.
No.
The Military Bowl. I care about the military, but not their bowl.
Right.
Birmingham Bowl is a little bit of an embarrassment for Auburn. And if they don't, I mean, Houston is a good team at 11-2. They just had to play Cincinnati twice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that won't be easy.
The SEC could be 0-3 with losses to Army, Houston, and Central Florida.
Yep.
Boy.
It just means more.
Yeah, I mean, Air Force Louisville, I think I'll skip that. It's appropriate that's the First Responder Bowl because they have to deal with a lot. First responders have to deal with a lot. Like, they're on the scene. Oh, boy, that's grisly.
Clear.
Yep, exactly. This, I think, okay, you're going to call me nutty. Tuesday night, or Tuesday happy hour, a 5:45 kickoff over in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, where their slogan is, come see the Liberty Bowl. We have increased security. Mississippi State, Texas Tech.
That could be a bit of a shootout.
I think that could be a shootout. State is a 9.5-point favorite, over under at 58.5. I think, and this is where I think, okay, you know, Missouri, Florida, Auburn, all right, okay. Now Mississippi State starts to, now we start to kind of to gin up here. I think they beat Texas Tech. UCLA and North Carolina State in the Holiday Bowl that night, as well as West Virginia, Minnesota in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I need a guaranteed rate. I'm not sure a rate of what, but... And if you're a bowl sponsor, you got to come up with a bet. I know, I realize guaranteed rate, but is that, I don't know what bowl that used to be. Bigger point, that's not a bad evening of college football right there. Bang,
no.
Bang, boom. Because I like Minnesota. I like to watch P.J. Fleck. Or what? That's his name, right?
Yes.
The little bald guy?
Yes.
He reminds me of a political consultant I know in Pennsylvania. So that's not a bad evening right there. And really, the marquee game, State and Tech over in Memphis. This is something we should talk to Buckley about. The Fenway Bowl, which I don't know how you jam a football stadium inside Fenway Park. I think this is one of those things, you know, don't throw it into the corner because, you get 1 foot down and you're into the Green Monster. Kablooey. I'll tune in, and that's a 10 a.m. kickoff on the 29th. Whew. What's the old saying? You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. You can't watch college football all day if you don't start with the Fenway Bowl at 10 a.m. But it's going to have my SMU ponies. Our buddy, now this is the game where you know everyone on the field is going to be somebody important someday. SMU, Virginia. Two really good schools. Future doctors and lawyers running around out there. Let's see. Oh, the Military Bowl and the Fenway Bowl have been canceled? That's what I'm told? No. I got to get confirmation on that. I'm still looking at a line here.
And the Guaranteed Rate Bowl used to formerly be known as the Cactus Bowl.
Oh, of course, the Cactus Bowl. Worst trophy in all of sports. Okay, Amy, if you're right, well, I'm assuming COVID. I didn't assume because of ticket sales. Well, that can't be. I mean, we dug up Rutgers to play in the Gator Bowl.
Right.
The Pinstripe Bowl. I mean, you can't have... Fenway can't lose their bowl and the Yankees keep their bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a slap in the face to all Bostonians. Where's Yastrzemski, huh?
Carlton Fisk.
Where's Karate? He's just willing that home run to stay fair. Maryland, Virginia Tech. That's at 1:50. I mean, all day on the 29th. I'll get nothing done that day. But to me, back-to-back, two best games, and they're both on the 29th. Clemson and Iowa State play in the Cheez-It Bowl, which I'll be able to eat Cheez-Its while watching the bowl. See, that's the tie-in there, you see? That's how I'm... And the Alamo Bowl that night, which is the best, in my opinion, the best non-New Year's Eve, New Year's Day bowl. That's Oklahoma, Oregon.
That'll be fantastic.
I'd like, just see Bob Stoops back out on the sub. Big game, Bob. Back down on the sideline. Oklahoma, Oregon, 8:15, Alamo Bowl. And then the Duke's Mayo Bowl. North Carolina, South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of a tie-in there. And Duke's Mayo's huge there in those two states.
Right.
We're more of a, more of a Hellman's state here or something like that?
I would think so.
Then the Music City Bowl, Tennessee, Purdue, that won't be so bad. You get a real run here with SEC teams. Then the Peach Bowl on the 30th, that night, 6 p.m. kickoff, Pitt, Michigan State. Good game.
That should be sneaky good.
Vegas Bowl then that evening. Wisconsin, Arizona State.
That could be really good.
I figure Wisconsin rolls in that, right? Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. Herm could dial up some defense.
Yeah. You play to win the game. Old Herm, he said it best.
Yep.
Demon Deeks take on the Hap. Oh, boy. Is this – so let's talk about this for 1 second. And let's see if we can't. We'll get confirmation during the break on the Fenway Bowl being canceled because of COVID, as well as the other one. But so you want to tell me that, and I know it's about practice and preparation and all of that, but A&M, this just seems to me to be like the TCU team of last year. Just, you know what? We don't want to go. You couldn't say no. I mean, if somebody calls you with a bowl invitation, it's like putting some girl on the spot in a restaurant or in some public place. She can't say, no, I don't want to marry you. You have to accept the invitation. You have to say yes, and then you feverishly work to get out of it.
Military and Fenway Bowls are both canceled.
Both canceled.
With COVID, the primary.
Omicron, Decepticron, Delta, United. Do we know the variants?
Allegiant.
I wonder, at what point does the variant become irrelevant?
At what point does the variant no longer become a variant and become a mainstream?
Just, it is, you know. I mean, when can we play with COVID and not? Because guys have played with the flu. Heck, we propped old Michael Jordan up. You know, Scottie Pippen had the flu one time. I mean, that gave him, you know, famously guys played with the flu in games before. No one, Fauci didn't run out onto the court and go, no, get him out of here. Everybody put on a mask.
Wasn't spraying him down with Lysol.
Right. They didn't cut to MJ over there and they've got a mask on him. So guys have played in big games with the flu. At what point in time will it become the flu? Omicron, Decepticon, Delta United. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, Pippen's got 103 fever, but he's on the court tonight. No, little Fauci. This is, no. Stop it. Let's see. Washington State and the U. Ooh, that'll be ugly. A battle of 7-5 teams. Why can't that game be canceled because of COVID? Let's look back through here.
No, that's the one bowl game likely to be played in the snow.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because it's outdoors in El Paso.
Yes.
Outdoors in El Paso. And I guarantee you, you'll hear automatic gunfire off in the distance at the Sun Bowl. You always do. You know, the Tijuana cartel will be making a move on people outside the stadium there in El Paso. Ta-ta-ta-ta-tow! We're asking all fans and players to stay inside the stadium. It won't be like the Saline County Showdown or the Saline County Stampede when they somehow the Salt Bowls. No, people won't run out. They'll stay inside the stadium. Let's see. Yeah, you're right. Washington State, Miami, 11 a.m. on the 31st. Oof. And then, of course, you know, the biggies, the playoff game. We'll get into that a little bit later. But, yes, if I could cancel one of these, if I could give one team COVID, it might, let's see, the poor Fenway Bowl. I wonder which team came down with it, too. You know? Rutgers, it might be Wake Forest Rutgers in the Tax Slayer Bowl. And that's we've already tried to cancel that with A&M. And you know that's just Jimbo not wanting. There's nothing in it. The Tax Slayer Bowl. You know? It's just not going to work. So it's the Gator Bowl. You know? It's the fifth oldest bowl game. And anyway. Let's see. Yeah. I probably would. Well, we've already given A&M COVID in that game. We've already tried to cancel that game once. And if you're Rutgers, how about that? Season's over, 5-7. See you guys next year. Everybody get back on campus. We got to practice a little bit.
I didn't read the story, but I saw a headline late last night where Burt was trying to worm Illinois into the spot that Rutgers ultimately got.
Yeah, he was telling them they could do it. But I think Rutgers gets it because of graduation rates.
APR.
And yeah. Isn't that funny? Rutgers, graduation rates or grade point average. And why do I have a feeling that, you know, they've cobbled together a team? I mean, if you're a senior, super senior, you've already turned in all your stuff. Why do I have I have in my mind like the longest yard or something like that? Like
the replacements.
Right, exactly. The replacements. Keanu Reeves is going to come running out of the tunnel for Rutgers. Gene Hackman is the coach. Oh, boy. Do they have cheerleaders and stuff like that? I mean, because they weren't planning on going. Got to hit a break. We'll talk to Paul Buckley, our Patriots insider. About our man Hunter, fan favorite up there, Hunter Henry, who has exploded in popularity across New England. Stay with us. Like rock, nothing ever got to me like a rock. Lord, I was something to see like a rock.
Thank you for joining the Sunday Buzz. Here's your host, Bill Vickery.
Unbelievable.
Sunday before the Super Bowl. We've had him on Super Bowl Sunday a couple of times with New England being in the Super Bowl. But we've moved him up this year because our Patriot insider up there in New England, Paul Buckley, has adopted the Arkansas Razorbacks. And he and his family will be, we will all be in Tampa together next Saturday. next Saturday morning, cheering the Hogs on to victory over Penn State. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, I was trying to explain to the listeners in the first hour about how excited you are. You know, I see you at an event up in Boston, and you walk in with, as you kindly refer to it, as your hagnaz. And I was explaining, now that's what's a hagnaz? That's a hog nose, I think, as we say it down here. But
I've already packed it then.
Good.
I've already packed it.
And I did see where your family was kind, or Santa Claus was kind enough to get you a Hunter Henry jersey for Christmas. And I look forward to you sporting that down in Tampa as well.
Well, that's my traveling outfit, Bill. but we love him up here. You know, we love our Arkansas Razorbacks. You know that.
Yes.
Dating all the way back to Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
But Hunter has really delivered for us. And not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, I could see his brother being an undrafted free agent and latching on with somebody like the Patriots as a special teams ace.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Hunter Henry family will keep producing the rest of this year.
I talk a little bit about the difference in watching, sort of, not just the pro game and the college game, but, you know, I know Boston College is big inside the city up there, but really allegiances to professional teams and the college experience. You're a Holy Cross man, the alma mater also of the greatest player of the 80s, Gordy Lockbaum. Who should have won the Heisman Trophy, I think, a year that maybe Mike Rozier won it or something like that. But
yeah, he came in third that year.
Yes.
And you're right.
Yeah.
The last serious two-way player in major college football.
But it is different. To cheer for the college fan experience is very different than the NFL fan experience, and you get to capture a little bit of both.
Well, yes. Boston College is big, but, you know, this is a pro town, and so they'll always be, you know, eighth or ninth, you know, between all the pro teams. But, you know, that's why I had to adopt a college team.
Yeah.
For exactly what you say, Bill. It is such a different experience, and given that I've been able to travel the country a bit, I've seen Nebraska when they were good at their home field. I've seen LSU. And like you say, there's nothing to compare it to. And that's why I'm so happy with what Sam Pittman's accomplished.
Yep.
Because this is a fun team. And from what I read, that experience has returned to Fayetteville.
It has. We got to get you to Fayetteville for a game. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited. Tampa's a fun town. I think it'll be a fun experience while we're there, and I think it will be a fun game. I think this is one of these interesting matchups that can be a good football game deep into the fourth quarter. I tend to think that Arkansas's ability to run the football, both with the quarterback as well as the running backs, might give us an advantage of being able to control the clock and control the game. But you've watched a lot of college football. You know. Being able and Bill Belichick's probably the single greatest coach when it comes to understanding how to control a game by controlling the offense and the football, and through three times against Buffalo, that's how you win football games, especially these kind of one-off shots like bowl games.
No two ways about it. And I think Arkansas this morning, I think they're still a 1.5-point underdog.
Mm-hmm.
But I think smart money will move to them as the week progresses, and for a lot of the reasons you say. It's going to be a running game, right?
Yeah.
It's a Big Ten / Big 12, you know, team, Penn State. But that's a crazy thing. Penn State has always been a running team, and they have not been able to run the football this year at all.
Yeah.
Whereas Arkansas, very strong running game, both with Jefferson, but, you know, Sanders and Smith. I think it's going to come down to the running game. And as you may know, two of the starting linebackers for Penn State have opted out. Now, I know you guys have a couple of big opt-outs, too.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to game strategy, the two linebackers for Penn State, Smith and Brooks, opting out will really put them in a bind against your running game.
I want to, well, first of all, thanks. See, this is not only is he our Patriot insider, but now he's become
a Penn State insider.
He's our Penn State insider too, as well here. So,
well, I have a source up there, Bill. You know, his code name is Nittany Lion.
Yes.
Except for he spells it L Y I N. So I don't know if this is good material or not.
Well, that is something. I mean, you are telling us something I didn't realize. I didn't realize that two of their starting linebackers had opted out. You know, James Franklin at one time was a really hot prospect. Last year, the COVID year really did him in, and then off to a hot start. But then he when they got into the meat of their schedule, Penn State seemed to kind of fall apart.
James Franklin, I know, is a great recruiter, but he is a god-awful play caller.
Yes.
In that big game several weeks ago, they had the ball with a chance to tie or go ahead. I forget who they were playing, and they went 3-and-out with some of the worst play calls I've ever seen. No kidding. If I had a choice between Kendall Briles and James Franklin to run my offense, Briles, seven times a week, twice on Sunday.
Hey, so now I do want to switch gears on you now. I want to talk a little I want to talk a little NFL for a while. Your Patriots have become the second half team, and that's always sort of a rule in the NFL. Is once you get into November, how you play November, December typically is how you. Those are the teams that make the runs in the playoffs. What is the buzz up there? Clearly it's all about Mac Jones, but really this is a work of art by Bill Belichick this year, is it not?
Oh, no two ways about it. While there are some who are just simply debating whether Mac Jones is a first-round Hall of Famer, first ballot
Hall of Famer.
Some of the rest, and I love Mac Jones. I hope they draft him. They did draft him. But it's really been Belichick football. It's been the running game with what he has now got two monster running backs, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, although he's out against Buffalo later today, which makes me a little nervous. But a great set of running backs. That offensive line came together as soon as Trent Brown came back from injury. He was hurt in the first game of the year, missed seven games. The offensive line is now a true New England Patriots offensive line. And then, of course, the defense. And I know everybody's reading about Matt Judon everywhere, but you can't say enough about him. He has really been that difference maker. I mean, we haven't had anybody sack anybody since Trey Flowers was here. It is Bill Belichick. It's offensive line, running backs, and a very strong defense.
I think it's way too early to compare his on-the-field play to Gronkowski. And clearly they're two totally different people off the field in Hunter Henry and Rob Gronkowski. But down on the goal line, inside the 20, Hunter Henry seems to create that same matchup problem that Gronkowski still does for Tom Brady. Once they get – he just catches touchdown passes. You know, it just – you wake up and he's had four catches and two TDs.
Absolutely. He leads NFL tight ends in touchdowns. And once Josh McDaniels let Mac Jones throw the ball inside the 20 in the red zone. He and Hunter Henry have got this great chemistry. And Jacoby Myers, between the 20s, is his go-to look as a wide receiver. But inside the red zone, his go-to, Hunter Henry, all the time.
Yeah. And he does. He seems to be making some of those same moves as Gronkowski did. And you and I talked about this before the Patriots picked him up. You said, hey, this is the year they can go to San Diego or go to L.A. and snag him, bring him in. He's one of the missing pieces that they need to get back to where they would be. And I hadn't paid much attention to it, and I thought, no, he's going to want to stick with the Chargers. But no, and he's really blossomed in New England, Hunter Henry.
I am so glad you brought that up, Bill, because if you didn't, I would. I absolutely
you
predicted
did. You called it. Yeah.
Belichick would go for him.
Well,
and he's been great.
And that's, you know, people can make fun of Gronkowski. People love to make, because he's a fun-loving guy and all that. But he is a smart football player. Hunter Henry's the same way. And especially when you get down on the goal line, for big guys like that, to get a little bit of separation or to make that cut exactly 5 yards and hard to the left. And I know that was one of the criticisms of Henry, was he's maybe not a sharp route runner, but he knows how to get open in that closed space, and he does provide real matchup problems for even for safeties and clearly for linebackers. Then, of course, there's no way a corner is going to be able to come up and stop him.
He sets up, like, in the low post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once he finds that open space, he's a big man in the low post, and no one can get around him.
I'm very sorry that I was unable to make it up for the Cowboy win this year, as you were kind enough to come down to Dallas and watch a total and complete annihilation of the Cowboys by the then Tom Brady-led New England Patriots. So I was very disappointed I wasn't able to make it up for the game. But it is true. The two don't have to be at odds with one another. Tom Brady can be a great quarterback who can win on his own, and Bill Belichick can be a great coach who can win on his own. And I think you kind of see that coming to fruition this year.
This whole debate about can one win without the other, I think has been foolish from the beginning. They both made each other better, and they both on their own are good enough to win and do their own achievement. But clearly, putting the two of them together created something we'll never see again in sports. But they are great by themselves. And we don't have to say one versus the other. And it's been a silly thing up here ever since Brady left.
So, okay. A couple of minutes that we have left. Give me what you think your breakdown is of Arkansas in the Outback Bowl, Penn State in a final score, Paul.
All right. This game is much more meaningful to Arkansas than it is Penn State. Teams with a meaningful objective usually do better. Offensive play calling, edge Arkansas. Running game, edge Arkansas. And the best name on the field, Bumper Pool, edge Arkansas. Take all that into account, and Arkansas is going to win by a touchdown.
There we go. Well, I'll see you Thursday evening in Tampa, my friend. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll be the one in the Hunter Henry jersey.
I'll look for you. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care, Bill.
Take care. Paul Buckley, ladies and gentlemen, our Patriots insider.
I've been the one in the Hunter Henry jersey.
Ever.
I love it. If you look in the Webster's Dictionary for New Englander, it has a little woodcut of Paul Buckley, you know, and the red beard and the whole. Oh, he'll be, you know, be there together, arm in arm, cheering him on Saturday morning. Got to hit a break. We'll be back to wrap this moneymaker up after this.
Just call my name. Just be
Now, more of the Sunday Buzz with Bill Vickery.
It's existential, yet it's so accessible.
Todd, let's wrap this moneymaker up here with some predictions in regard to the upcoming bowl games. Good one. I'm just going to pick some randomly out here, some better than others. Oregon in the Alamo Bowl on the 29th, Tuesday, 8:15. Oregon, Oklahoma. OU is a 4.5-point favorite. Who do you like, Todd?
This one could be a game where whose offense has the ball last, but I like the fact that Bob Stoops is coaching this game for Oklahoma.
Yeah,
a little bit of stability for the program. Someone who's familiar with the weapons that are available. Give me Oklahoma.
Yeah, give me Oklahoma too. Early, I like Oklahoma, and I like them to cover the 4.5. In Oregon, I've never been sold on them. Listen. They caught Ohio State exactly the right time early on, and then that Stanford loss really stands out to me. Earlier in the day in the Cheez-It Bowl, where you and I will be able to eat Cheez-Its and watch the bowl, Clemson, Iowa State. Clemson is a 1.5-point favorite. It's basically a pick'em game.
Pretty much. I know Clemson's been coming on later in the season. Iowa State's just been consistent all year long. Give me the Cyclones.
This kills me to pick against our amigo Justin Akery, but I will take the I'm going to take the Tigers. I like Clemson here to cover big time. Duke's Mayo Bowl, North Carolina, South Carolina. Tar Heels 9-point favorite.
I would be inclined to go with North Carolina on
that
as well.
Give me North Carolina, but great job with Beamer and South Carolina, and onward to bigger and better things.
No doubt.
Tennessee, Purdue in Nash Vegas. The Vols, a 5-point favorite.
Purdue is one of those sneaky good teams. You think you can overlook them, and then they wind up with a victory. I'm gonna go Purdue.
Give me the Volunteers. Volunteers in Nashville. Josh Heupel, resurgence, be a big crowd. Later that evening. Or that afternoon, excuse me. Pitt, Michigan State, in the Peach Bowl down in Hotlanta.
This is going to be a good one, too.
Michigan State's a 2.5-point favorite, by the way. Sparty? Sparty?
That's kind of the way I'm leaning, just because.
Give me the Spartans. I think Pittsburgh's a little bit of a pretender. They got the ACC regular season.
Well, that and Pickett has. Declared for the NFL draft, so.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, that's big. Who doesn't play in these games? That started to shape everything. We'll jump way ahead to the Texas Bowl. LSU, Kansas State. Does LSU even show up? Kansas State's a 3.5-point favorite.
Give me Kansas State.
Yeah, I'll take Kansas State, I guess. I guess LSU kind of gives up. A great game on New Year's Day that evening. Sugar Bowl, Baylor, Ole Miss. In a shootout, Baylor's a 1-point favorite. This is basically a pick'em game.
Basically a pick'em game, but I'm going to go with our friend Stats Norsworthy. I'm going to go with the Ole Miss Rebels.
Give me Ole Miss. Utah, Ohio State, and the granddaddy. Ohio State a 6.5-point favorite. Shouldn't they be like a 70-point favorite? I don't know.
Utah is
really?
has been pretty solid for a Pac-12 team. They've been pretty solid. I still say Ohio State would win, but I think it'll be closer than a lot of people think.
Give me the Schmuckeyes. They win and cover big time. Dame versus Oklahoma State in the Fiesta. Notre Dame is a 2.5-point favorite.
With Brian Kelly at the helm.
Yeah. That's kind of a – are they a better team without him?
I mean, it's entirely possible, but you know what? It's business in the front, party in the back. Give me Gundy and the Cowboys.
Wow. I'll take the Golden Domers just to just to go the other way. Iowa, Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. There's a chance for Kentucky to really make a statement. They're a 2.5-point favorite, too, by the way. That's shocking.
How much of a favorite?
2.5-point favorite,
two and
Kentucky.
A half. Yeah, I mean, this is a chance for Kentucky basically to legitimize themselves and basically just say, you know what, we're good, too. We're in the SEC East. We're a force to be reckoned with. That being said, Iowa, it depends on what Iowa team shows up. If they come motivated, it'll be a game. If they don't, which is what I'm going to guess is probably the case, Kentucky romps.
I like Kentucky. Outback Bowl, you can't spell Outback without UT. See what I did there? See, citrus is what he used to say, but now I say the ball coach.
Thank you, ball coach.
I think we both pick Arkansas here.
No doubt, absolutely.
Real quickly, Cincy, Bama. Bama, they're a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Bama.
Bama, Michigan, Georgia.
Just to be contrarian, I'll go Michigan.
Yeah, I like the Bulldogs to roll. Okay, let's move from the college ranks to the action that we have today in the National Football League. The shocking, break them up, big time on a roll, Detroit Lions taking on the surging Atlanta Falcons in Hotlanta. The Falcons, a 7.5-point favorite. Who do you like?
Dirty Birds.
Yeah, I'll take the Falcons. And one of the big games of the day, Ravens, Bungles, and Cincinnati. Bungles, a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Baltimore without his top two quarterbacks because of COVID. So give me Cincy.
The ghost of Johnny Unitas. I'll take Cincy, too. Rams, Vikes, up in Minnetonka. The Rams, a 3-point favorite.
I'd like to go Vikings on this one, but I can't. Give me the Rams.
Rams on the road, indoors. Bills, just talking to Buckley. Bills, Pats. In Foxborough, the Pats a 1.5-point favorite. And listen, this is a must-win for Buffalo. I mean, it's back against the wall time.
If they have any shot at winning the division, I would say so. But I think, again, like they did in Buffalo, New England leans on the running game and wins it.
See, if the Bills find a way to lose. Give me Buffalo here. I think at some point in time, New England's got to give a game back. Woo. Boy, in a game that's like a bad automobile accident or like watching a big animal be put down, Jaguars, Jets, it must be played because tickets have already been sold, but let's don't even kick that game. We'll skip it. Giants, Eagles, and Filthy. The Eagles, a 10.5-point favorite. Jake Fromm starting day for the Giants.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yep, give me the Eagles. The Schmeagles in a roll today. Buccaneers, Panthers, and the Queen City. Buccaneers a 10.5-point favorite today.
Tampa.
Chargers, Texans, and Houston. Chargers almost a 2-touchdown favorite.
Chargers? Give me the Chargers here.
We're at that time of the season where that's why you see these double-digit odds because you know who's going to win.
Exactly.
That's
you know Vegas who's just good, trying, you know yeah. who's not.
Who's giving up, who's not playing. Another one. Bears, Seahawks in Seattle. Seattle?
Yeah, I've got a friend that's going to this game. Snow, upper 20s, low 30s. Yeah, give me Seattle.
We'll take Seattle. Steelers and your Kansas City Chiefs in KC. The Chiefs a 10-point favorite. This is back against the wall time for the. Yeah, I'll take because of their defense.
Yes.
And that who would have said that week 4, 5, 6, something like that? Boy. Old school matchup here. Broncos, Raiders in Vegas. Raiders, a 1.5-point favorite.
Give me Denver.
You know what? Just to be different, I'll take the Raiders. They're both 7-7. They're both hanging around. That's why you see a 1.5-point favorite. I mean, you know who's going to win. You see double-digit favorites. You know games. Yeah, this is what the NFL does to you. Washington Football Team Association, boys. Down in Jerry World, boys a 9.5-point favorite. We both like Dallas.
Boys.
And tomorrow night, Fish, Saints, and the poor Saints. They've got Archie Manning playing quarterback for the Saints. I mean, how does that even happen? You go through 3 quarterbacks. I mean, you can't. Hey, they lose Jameis for good. Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian, both in COVID protocol or Corona, Omni-Corona,
Decepticon.
Fish? Oh, excuse me, yeah, mammals? Mammal? Sorry, sorry.
I think sorry, I'm Bailey. Still going to go New Orleans Hartford. At home.
The Lowe brothers there, they tell me all the time, it's not a fish, it's a mammal. So, I'll take the mammals on the road, I guess. Excellent job producing the program today, Todd. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy Boxing Day to all of you out there. I'll join you from Tampa next Sunday with post-game react from all the Razorback fans down there. Till then, boys and girls, look out for number one. Happy New Year. Don't step in number two. Cocaine.